time for the second part of It's All About Food. And here you are with me. Thank you so much for joining me and listening and caring about my favorite subject, food, because it is all about food. And every time I turn and look and think about something and try and see how it's not connected to food, I always find a connection to food, because it's all about food. I want to bring up some things that are going on, some events, some things you might be interested in. So every year, Responsible Eating and Living, my nonprofit, has been supporting the Compassion Over Killing U.S. Veg Week. And that goes on during the week of Earth Day, which is coming up later this month. So if you go to usvegweek.com, you can find out more about what goes on during U.S. Veg Week. But it's a great opportunity for people who are not vegetarian to choose vegetarian foods just during this week, the week of Earth Day. And they have a nice program. If you register and you take their 7-day veg pledge and you get to be part of a bigger community of lawmakers and celebrities that agree to sign up, and you get a bunch of nice resources, coupons, recipes, opportunities to win some prizes, and it's a nice little kick in the butt for you if you've been thinking of improving your diet and just needed one more little reason to do it. You might join the U.S. Veg Week kickoff for the Earth Day Week Veg Pledge, right? Very good. There's that. And another thing I wanted to mention, I think this is the fourth year. Are you familiar with the Food Revolution? That's an organization that was created by John Robbins and Ocean Robbins. And they have a Food Revolution Summit every year, and it's coming up later this month. I think it's, let me check. It's around the 25th of April, I think, and it's an opportunity to hear John Robbins interview some really great people in the food movement, and you can listen to all of it free during April 25th to May 3rd, and then afterwards you have an opportunity, if you want to keep all of these interviews, you can make a purchase. But if you want to know more about it, just go to my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. You can scroll down on the right side till you see Food Revolution Summit. The one special thing about this is John Robbins. He's just amazing to listen to. And sometimes I think he's linked somehow to the greater universe, somehow the way he channels things when he speaks. And I am actually very fortunate in that after the Food Revolution Summit, later in May, I will be joining John and Ocean, and we will be doing a 6-week online course, helping people along to make better food choices and give you all kinds of wonderful, empowering tips to prepare food and choose different foods during your journey, everyday life, etc. And we did this back in October, and we're doing it again in May and June. And I'll let you know more about it later in the month. But it was such a great experience. It was a great experience for me. Now, I was part of the course, but just to participate and hear what these two wonderful people had to offer and share was invaluable. So you might want to check out the Food Revolution Summit. And again, that's go to responsibleeatingandliving.com, my website. Scroll down on the right side, and you'll find a little picture for the Food Revolution Summit, and that will take you there. What else do I need to tell you about? So you know we are having an event as well. It's my birthday party on April 22nd. What are you doing on Earth Day? How are you celebrating the Earth? Of course, I think every day should be Earth Day. It's our home, right, and we should be taking care of it. And one day really quite isn't enough, but at least on that one day we can make a big splash and think about how we can do better in the following year. Well, Responsible Eating and Living is having a fundraising event. It's my birthday party, and I really would hope that you check it out if you're in the New York metro area. I would love to meet you and see you. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. Again, you'll find it on our website. It's pretty much at the top, the It's a turquoise little picture called the Happy Birthday Review. And you'll get to meet the Swing Gourmets because they're going to be singing at that event. Another thing I wanted to talk about is an event that I just went to last night, which was amazing. So my partner Gary and I contributed 3 recipes to the new Farm Sanctuary book called Living the Farm Sanctuary Life. It's written by Jean Barr, the co-founder of Farm Sanctuary, along with Jean Stone. You may recognize those names. I've had them both on the show, and Jean Barr will be back in May to talk about this book as well. He was also on Jon Stewart last night. I don't know if you caught that. So we were at this event for the book launch because it was released yesterday. And the one thing that really stood out for me, for somebody who's been vegan now for over 26 years, it was so inspiring to see how far we've come. So it was a lovely event at ABC Home, and I don't know if you've ever been to this store in Manhattan. There's nothing in there that I could possibly afford, but it's a beautiful store of all kinds of creative, crafty, lovely, different things. And they're very generous with their space for good causes, and this event was there. So I just want to name some of the people that were there, and I will be bringing them on the program soon if they haven't been on the program. So Joshua Katcher, are you familiar with him? He's the discerning brute, and what one of the things he's working on is compassionate, cruelty-free fashion wear for men. And that's something that there isn't a lot of. You know, most men, when they choose a suit, it'll often be made of wool or silk, and there aren't many fashionable items that are made of cruelty-free textiles. And if they are, they're very expensive. So that's an area that needs development. And we spent some time with Jane Velez Mitchell. Are you familiar with her? She's a huge animal rights activist, and she had a show for a while on CNN. And now she's working on a new project that will be on the World Wide Web, Jane Unchained, and I'll be speaking with her next week. Very exciting. Do you remember MASH? So Loretta Swit, who used to play Hot Lips Houlihan, she was there, and she shared some of her experiences as an animal rights activist. It was really exciting to see her there. Some other people, Sharon Gannon of Jiva Mukti, I spoke to her a while ago. She has a lovely, joyful cookbook out. And it was really just great to be a part of that. Now, I want to get to the fun part, and that is talking about food. Good food, delicious food. Now, this week, there were 2 holidays that I know of. There was the Jewish holiday of Passover and the Christian holiday of Easter. And I think it's really, really considerate that these big holidays fall on the same week. And I'm not really into following the religious part of the holidays, the protocols. All I'm interested in is the food and making the favorite foods vegan and delicious. We had so much fun, and it was something that really just came together and we didn't plan. Now, I may have mentioned it last week, but I've been working on and fine-tuning my gefilte fish recipe, and I got to eat it all this week. It's an almond-based recipe, really simple. What was really fun this time is I made a jelly or an aspic that went with the gefilte fish. If you're familiar with this Jewish fish dish, very often if you don't make it yourself, you buy it in a jar in a store, and it's in this kind of, it's not really attractive, but it's kind of this slimy jelly thing, and it forms from the fat from the animal that you've prepared the dish from. So I use a sea vegetable agar to make the gel. And it was tricky to get the right consistency, not too hard, not too soft. And I finally made it and jarred my fish, which is the seasoned almond-based pieces, made to look like the gefilte fish, which is a combination of white fishes or carp. I'm not even familiar with the fishes that are used anymore because I haven't eaten it in forever. But it was so good. Taking it out of the jar with the jelly, the flavor really got enhanced over time. I'm so excited about that recipe. And we had just a wonderful Passover. Now, one of the famous dishes in the Jewish tradition is something called brisket, which is a beef that is marinated, and it becomes really, really soft and tender, and people just go nuts over it. Well, I haven't had that in a really long time, and I'm not really interested in it, but Gary made two wonderful brisket-like dishes. One was with mushrooms, and one was with tempeh, and genius. They were so good, with really flavorful sauces. And, you know, it's all about the sauce. I am more and more convinced about food and how to make things tasty. When you have a wonderful sauce, and you can have a wonderful sauce that's entirely plant-based, it can bring so much elegance, not only flavor, but elegance if it's plated in a certain way. Or it can bring a certain degree of comfort. You know, a lot of comfort food has rich sauces and gravies. And that's why we started with our Transition Kitchen program. We've done three of them now. And we've done three out of the five French mother sauces. These are the base kinds of sauces in the French culinary canon, and you can build upon them to make so many others. They're not hard to make. Hollandaise, velouté, espagnol, bechamel, and tomato. And you can start with these and then season them up and make so many different wonderful, flavorful dishes from plants. You don't need the meat. You just need the sauce. So we had some wonderful espagnol sauce and variations on it to make this briskety kind of dish. Wonderful. Well, then it was time to... Oh, no, one more thing. I made a chocolate flourless cake. So I'm not really that concerned with the traditions of Passover, but one of the things you're not supposed to do is eat leavened bread, wheat. There's a whole long list of foods that you're not supposed to eat. So I was trying to think, okay, what can I make for dessert that kind of fits the Passover rules and vegan and gluten-free? And I found this wonderful recipe in the Vegan Holiday Cooking from Candle Cafe, a chocolate flourless cake. And I made it, and it was so good. And now I can't wait to make all kinds of variations on it because it was really very easy and lovely. So I'm very excited about these chocolate flourless cake. I'm going to post my recipe on that pretty soon. I haven't gotten to it yet, but look for it. And then Easter came along just a couple of days later. And I have to say that I was blown away with the dishes that my partner Gary created for Easter. I had no idea what he was doing. He was working in the kitchen for hours. I asked if I could help, and one of the things he asked me to do was to make a cannoli shell. And because I tend to make all the desserts in the family, and the funny thing is I never made a cannoli before. So, okay, I'm going to make a cannoli shell, and not only that, I'm going to make it vegan, and I'm going to make it gluten-free. And it was fun just downloading different recipes and seeing how people made them. Oh, and I also, if you've ever had a cannoli, which is a pastry tube, and it's filled with a rich, usually a sweetened ricotta cream. I grew up on these, and they were just so incredibly delicious. And sometimes you can get little pieces of chocolate chips and cherries in them. And it's just a wonderful dessert that I haven't had in a million years. Well, I came up with a recipe that isn't deep fried because I don't like deep frying things. So I made a baked cannoli shell, and it's vegan and gluten-free, and it was wonderful. It was so much fun making it. It really wasn't difficult. And then Gary made this beautiful filling. So we ended up having this incredible Easter dinner. And just amazing what you can do with plant food. So that's just one of the things that we want to put out there to the universe, that this kind of eating is not only good for you, but it can be, if you put in the time and effort, it can be elegant, it can be beautiful, stunning, satisfying. The first dish he made is something we're calling a musanya. We made it up. It's a combination of moussaka and lasagna, and the tomato sauce was seasoned with Middle Eastern kind of spices. It had a nice kick, really flavorful. It was incredible. And then I thought, okay, we're done. But then he came out with this beautiful dish. It was circles of marinated tempeh, marinated just to perfection, and inside smashed potatoes, sitting on a bed of an Espanol sauce, which is a dark sauce, so flavorful, so light, so lovely, and it came with roasted vegetables and a Indian eggplant. It was just incredible. And then we finished up with the cannolis. It was an amazing meal, and I just couldn't believe how it just all happened. Now, there are many, many people who either aren't interested in cooking or don't know how to cook. And like anything else, like learning to crawl or walk or run, it takes energy, it takes time, but anybody can learn. And that's one of our motives at Responsibility in Living, is to give you lots of ideas, lots of encouragement, because we all need to eat. You know, it's not like you can say, okay, I'm not interested in this because I don't eat. We all eat, right? I know there are some people that are so busy that they don't care what they eat and they just want it to be efficient, but I believe the most of what we do in life should be enjoyable. And if we're going to eat, shouldn't it be food that's delicious and nutritious? That's what we're offering you. So that was our Passover and Easter. Now, one of the things that I want to mention, maybe you noticed when I was talking about the gefilte fish, that I said it was made from almonds. Almonds are getting a bad rap these days. You know about the California drought, and most media are listing almonds at the top of the bad list for using so much water, and water being a precious commodity, they're pointing the finger at almonds as the bad agricultural food. And I haven't had a moment to dig into the numbers, but I do know that almonds are not the evilest of culprits. And I don't want to point fingers at almonds. I want to point fingers at, you know what I'm going to say, I want to point fingers at cattle, and especially in California. So they grow a lot of alfalfa and corn to make animal feed. And not all of that animal feed feeds cows in California. Some of it goes to China. It's crazy. So there's all this water being used to grow plants, to feed animals, to ultimately feed people, some of them in California, some of them across the country, some of them in other countries. And California's running out of water. The first thing that I would do is say, stop the cattle. It's so inefficient. And to grow plants to feed animals that sucks up all of this water inefficiently, it's the easiest thing to solve the problem. We'll see how that all spins out. Nobody's talking about it, at least nobody in the media world that gets a lot of attention, right? We're talking about it right now. That's what I would do. And, irks me. Does it irk you? It irks me to know that some of this animal feed isn't even staying within the United States. It's like shipping water outside of the United States, shipping all these foods that are grown here as California runs out of water and shipping it somewhere else to feed animals inefficiently, to feed people. Doesn't make any sense. Now, here's a question I have for you. When you visit a website, can you tell me this? Do you like when you get to the website and as soon as you get there, a screen pops up that you're not interested in that asks you to subscribe or do something or check something out? I just want to know, do you like that? I don't like it, but I just want to know, do people like that? We don't have that at responsibilityandliving.com. Maybe we should. I don't know, but it doesn't work for me. Let me know. Let me know what you think about anything. info@realmeals.org is my email, and I'd love to hear from you about that or about just about anything else. Let's see. Another thing. Oh, I wanted to talk about two things that I read in the news that I thought were kind of interesting, classic scenarios of humanity. Did you read the recent article? I saw it in the New York Times. I imagine it must be in other places. But people can purchase breast milk online, ultimately, I believe, to feed babies. And they're finding that 10% of some of the breast milk that have been randomly tested contains cow's milk. This I find so, I'm not shocked because people will do just about anything, but another very sad scenario with humanity and people trying to make a buck. Now, many times people purchase or try and find breast milk for their babies for a number of different reasons, because the mother cannot provide the milk, and because the baby may be sensitive to cow's milk formulas and soy milk formulas, and they can only consume human breast milk. And then they buy it, and it has cow's milk in it. It's just obscene. I go nuts when I read things like this. And if you've seen my chocolate report, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go to responsibilityandliving.com and watch it. That's one of the things we talked about with chocolate. So you may have heard chocolate has cadmium and lead in it, depending on where it comes from, at limits that are above allowable limits that can be toxic, especially to children. Cocoa, unfortunately, can be harvested in the Ivory Coast using child slavery. Very, very devastating. And then the other thing is that the FDA found dairy in many chocolates that said they didn't have dairy. And we learned a few weeks ago that the chocolate machines are hard to clean. So when somebody's making a non-dairy chocolate on a machine that has made dairy chocolate, it's just really hard to get all that dairy out of there. And for people that are sensitive to dairy, have extreme intolerances and could make them very ill, they have to avoid any amount of dairy in their food. And there are many chocolate foods, and now we're learning other foods that say they contain no dairy, but they do. And what do we do about that? Well, as I often love to quote my dad, if you can't solve the problem, eliminate the problem. And the way to eliminate it is for humans to stop exploiting animals and stop making milk from cows. If we didn't make any cow milk, then nobody would worry about being allergic to it or getting it in their purchased online human breast milk or in their chocolate, etc. That's my solution. Who's listening? Well, thank you for listening very much. I appreciate it, and I would love to hear from you at info@realmeals.org. Please send me a note, and please come to my birthday party. Put it on your calendar, April 22nd, Wednesday, here in New York, in Forest Hills, Queens, the number one travel destination for 2015. Come and see why. That's all now. I'm done. Very good. Thanks for listening. And remember, have a delicious week.